very serious story this morning and one which I need you to work with me on. I need you to call me and tell me what we should be doing, whether this is acceptable or not, the bigger picture, and indeed whether it is happening to you. So there's a little boy called Alex. He's one of our citizens in Northern Ireland. He's 5 years old and Alex has autism. He's nonverbal, so he can't communicate for himself. But let me tell you, we'll be communicating for him this morning. Since his family came back to Northern Ireland last year after living in America, he has never been to school. He hasn't been offered a place by the education authority. His parents have been told, there's no place for your son in Northern Ireland. Despite his human rights to get an education, despite it being their responsibility, this little boy is sitting on the scrap heap in Northern Ireland. We'll listen to his father, John, and I asked him to tell me about his son.
Right now he's a little over 5 and a half. He'd be 6 in June. When he was around 2 and a half, the 3 years old, is when he was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. Now, we were living in the States at this time, and we've since last year we came back here to Ireland, and we've been trying, since we got back, we've been trying to get him into school, obviously, because we don't want him to miss out too much. And now he's still nonverbal. Just the past month or so, he started to repeat some words.
And when did you come back, John?
The very beginning of April.
So April 2018.
Yeah.
And he should be in what, primary one?
Yeah. Because he hasn't had any school, he was supposed to be going into P1 in September.
Okay.
But that hadn't happened.
Why not?
The few places that I went to see recommended that Alex go to special school because of the fact that he's nonverbal and, you know, his focus is very limited. He does need constant attention. Like, you couldn't leave him on his own to do a task or anything. He needs somebody there with him. So we started the whole process about getting his statement as well, again, back in April when we got here. And we got that all finished in October. And we were told, okay, you need the statement before we can get him into special school. And we're still waiting.
What do you mean you're still waiting?
Well, he's still not at school. They've told us basically that there's no space for him.
Who's told you that? The Education Authority?
Yeah.
They've told you that there's no space for an education for your child in this country?
Yeah. My wife, she just called this morning to see if there was any update. And they said the person in charge is not in the office at the moment and they can't talk about it.
It's such a shocking thing for you to have said. I just want to make sure that this is accurate. You're telling me that the Education Authority have said there's nothing for your son.
Yeah.
But he's entitled to an education.
I know. Believe me, I know. Like I said, we've been all last year, I mean, we were calling pretty much every, if not every day, every other day, every third day, you know, to find out, well, this was when he was getting his statement, what's going on with it, is it any further along? We just kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And we finally got his statement and they said, okay, with it.
And that statement came 1 month later than expected, right?
Yeah, when we were told his statement would be out, they said, oh, you should have it this week. For example, it was back in, I think it was the beginning of October, end of September, beginning of October. They said, we have the reports from the pediatrician, the child psychologist, the occupational therapist.
And does that report say that your child has special needs?
Yes. On advice from other family members, they said, try, go to a mainstream school to see if they will accept him and maybe they can have an assistant or something with him. But a few of them said he'd be better off in special school because they wouldn't have the resources.
Your little boy Alex, does his statement, a statement is an evaluation of his current needs, does it say that he needs a special needs school?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah.
And the Education Authority is essentially saying, tough, there's nothing for him. Is that what they're saying?
Basically, yeah. I think we spoke to them last, maybe about 3 weeks ago. They said basically that there's no places for him.
So what are they going to do about it?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Did they offer any other options?
They said they would try and find somewhere maybe in Belfast, if that was okay, but they weren't sure if they would have the space either.
What chance has Alex got? You know, like, is it only is it? You know, what type of person are you if you don't get angry at this? There's a little boy. He'll be six in June. He's another one now, left on the scrap heap. No education. He's supposed to, you know, he's got special needs. So we need to protect them. And we can't even give him a school. Mm-hmm. What chance has he got?
Danielle, my wife, she's the one that's, well, I'm, myself, when I can, we're going over, you know, alphabet, you know, shapes, colours, numbers. And we're just every day, 2 or 3 hours of that every day or more if we can, in between playing with him. And he's, this past, like I said, month, he's started to repeat a lot of words. And I have to say, that's basically down to her.
And
it's basically homeschooling him.
You have not turned down any offer from the Education Authority. They've offered nothing.
No.
And your little boy should have been in school P1 in September. So yeah. September, October, November, December, January, February, March. There's 7 months without school.
Mm-hmm.
With no sign of any place at all.
No. It's so frustrating because I know when we were in the States, he would go to school. And it was only 3 hours a day, but he loved it. We would leave him at the teachers would take him in and he would just shoot straight off into the class. He was doing very well. Obviously, he still wasn't talking, but it was just to be in a different environment was with other kids and stuff like that was a big help for him. And now it's just all stopped and he's just not moving forward as well as he should be. The last correspondence, I suppose, we got was from October 26th, and that was his statement. And in that was like, what school would you like him to go to? You know, we gave in three options. They've come back and said, sorry, they're all full. They can't take him.
So what other advice are they giving you?
Nothing.
Nothing? Surely he has a caseworker that's looking. Surely Alex has someone within the system that's trying to look after his best interests, fighting for him.
Well, I would hope so.
And what impact do you think this is having on your son?
Well, obviously it's not helping his development, you know, because he's with us 24/7. It's not helping him socially, you know, because he needs to be around other kids. You know, when he's with my brother's daughter, he has great fun with her. They're playing, they're interacting. You know, I can see him trying to interact. But obviously he needs more attention. And, you know, because that's the odd weekend we do that. But he needs constant interaction with, like, other kids. He needs help with his speech, help with the occupational therapy. To give him any chance of, you know, breaking through this barrier of no speech and advancing, so to speak.
Should there not be a deep sense of shame for us all in society? Here's now a little 5-year-old boy, nearly six, and I use that term deliberately, on the scrap heap. Yeah. No, we can't find anywhere for him. So just let him sit there. Let him get behind. Let him get behind other children his age. And sure, you know, if there's a few years down the line where his education has been that neglected, that he finds trouble making friendships in life and doing all of that, and that'll follow him through later life. Sure, he's only a number.
Yeah. Sharon
O'Connor, who is the chair of the Education Authority, apologised about another little boy who we talked about on this programme last week. You know, what is happening in the Education Authority? Yeah. What is the bigger picture? Should they be speaking out about the lack of resources, the lack of money, the lack of child places? What is going on? What are you going to do? Your child has a legal right to education. What are you going to do?
I don't know what I'm going to, you know, like, we call pretty much every week trying to get him help. Everyone I talk to is like, it's a disgrace, you know, that he still hasn't got anywhere.
Here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to fight for you, all right? We're going to fight for you to get answers. With your permission, can we put you in touch with the Children's Commissioner?
Yeah.
We will bombard the Education Authority with questions about your son, his human right to an education, and what are they going to do about it? And is the Education Authority on top of this problem in Northern Ireland? If there is one child without an education, it's a problem. But I'm hearing from too many parents now, distraught, phoning them up and getting nothing back except we've no place for you.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
It's just,
you know,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Look, I wanted to say thank you for contacting us, okay?
No, thank you so much.
And you know, this will sound glib, and it's not. I'm telling you that I passionately mean what I'm going to say, okay? We care about your son, and this programme, I'm telling you, we will fight to get him answers and get you answers for his education. If they're not going to provide him with a school place, then we will do everything in our power to hold those people accountable. Leave it with us and we'll be in touch.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right, well, we get your reaction to this today. 03030 80 55 55. Jim in West Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Listen to that man there. Absolutely shocking that his young son cannot be afforded an education. But I'll tell you what the problem is here. There's a big problem in this country with the class. Is it class issue? Class divide. Now, I don't know anything about that gentleman and his wife, but I can guarantee you, to see if he was a barrister or and his the wife was a GP, that child would have a position in a school. He'd be in a school now. The problem is here.
Why do you say that?
Because we have it's like the health service here. If you have money, you can get to the top of the queue because you can go private. If you haven't got money, God bless you, you're stuck on a waiting list for 2 or 3 years. We have a big problem here. Class divide. I know nothing about that man. I know nothing about his wife. But I guarantee you, if they were in positions in the community of importance in the upper echelons of this community, that child would be in a school. I'm going to tell you what's even worse. I have no doubt that you will, like a dog with a bone, pursue this here, and I have no doubt in 2-3 weeks' time you will say, update on this child's story. The child has been given a place.
Yeah, but there's a bigger picture here. Is that there are many kids. You know, they tell us there's 16 kids sitting on the list. Well, I want to get through every 16 of them. But we're also digging into other figures, right? Just to let you know, we're digging into other statistics around this story. And I don't know what's going on, because we basically found out that we asked the following question. I don't want to get tied up in technical jargon here, because this story is about this little boy today. But we also asked, for example, that out of the 39% of statements, now statements is a document that a child needs to get an education if they've got special needs. That's basically the analysis, the official analysis of what care and support a child needs. 39% of them were not completed on time. Like, just get that into your head for a start. 39% of our kids they're being let down in terms of time frames are being breached. These are vulnerable special needs children.
Yes.
And we asked the Education Authority on the 14th of March. So what's that? Nearly a week ago?
Yeah.
How many pupils that involved? What's the longest delay that a child is waiting? And we asked for a breakdown of the time delays for each pupil. Guess what?
You haven't got a reply.
Exactly. They're working on it. It's going to take them time to work on it.
Stephen.
So they don't even know themselves. They don't have it tabulated themselves on a sheet what the longest period of time a pupil is waiting.
Stephen, can I make the point?
And see if they don't give it to us, I'm FOIing them. Yeah. If they don't give that to us, we'll keep going back to them.
And look, Stephen, hold on. It's a terrible indictment on the society here that it takes you, the biggest mouth in the country. People have to go to you, the biggest mouth in the country, the BBC, rather than approach these boards and authorities. And then when you get on the case, you had a child there a few weeks ago, if I recall, in a similar situation, then the child was afforded a place in the school. Is that correct?
The child, within 20 minutes of coming to the programme, was offered two places.
Well, there you go.
And his parent could get nowhere.
Well, and this is a problem in this society. It's a terrible indictment that parents are banging their heads against a brick wall. Ring a free phone number to the BBC, get through to your team, and voila, they get a place. There's big, big problems here, and it's terrible. I hope that man and his wife does. I have no doubt. As a matter of fact, they will get a place for a child, because now that you're on it. But these people need held to account. It's a disgrace. And again, that wee child is sitting in the house, not enjoying the joys of being at school and all the memories.
By the way, can I also be fair to the Education Authority in that they have been pretty forthcoming with all this information to us? They have.
Only because you're torturing them.
Yeah, but
you
I want to be
torturing them.
Well, when we've asked them for statistics, I've seen organisations that have taken longer to give them to us, and of that 39% figure I was talking about, I believe here, I'm just reading here that they promised us they've got an answer today. I think the point I was trying to make is, you know, they didn't have it tabulated before we answered them, but I guess, you know, if they're coming back to us within a week, fair enough. Let's wait and see. Let's talk about this little boy. Let's talk about Alex. He's 5 years of age, and we've left him on the scrap heap for seven months.
Absolutely shocking.
7 months without a place. Chris Little's listening to this from the Alliance Party. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
You know, we're getting quite a few emails from parents saying their kids are in a similar situation.
I can well believe that, Stephen. I've been working on special educational needs issues, including the statement and process delays you've uncovered and the special educational school placement issues for a number of years. It is unacceptable. I'd be more than willing to meet with and represent any of the families that are in contact with you, including John and Alex. My office have been doing our best on that issue for a number of years, and indeed the Assembly Education Committee, when it was in place, was able to provide some of the scrutiny, the like of which you're able to provide at the moment in its absence. But when you say MLAs are working on quote-unquote constituency issues, I think people sometimes think that's signing passport forms or something, which obviously it includes, but we're also dealing with these vital quality of life issues. And regrettably, Alex's situation today is indicative of the state of some of our public services at this moment in time, and that should shock our political parties and our society and the action.
Oh, listen, we're talking endlessly, every single day, about Brexit, and our political leaders, and Brexit is a big issue. There's no one questioning that, but our political leaders and they're all fighting for, you know, the constitutional status of the UK, or they're off fighting for what they want the withdrawal agreement, you know, to be or not to be, or whether they want the delay. And you look at some of that, what some people would call that pantomime in the House of Commons, and all of that. You know, who is fighting for education in Northern Ireland while this is all going on, and people's prosperity? And our health waiting lists. Who's actually governing that? All of that at the moment.
Stephen, it's important to remember as well, the Education Authority Board includes DUP, Sinn Féin, SDLP and UUP appointees. So you should have political representatives from those political parties who are the Education Authority Board responding to you and answering to you on these issues, as I am more than willing to do. These are unacceptable situations that the like of Alex is encountering, and we need to improve the system. The Education Authority CEO, to be fair, warned that the financial crisis in our education system risked putting it in a position of unfit for purpose for the 21st century. And yet political parties, as you say, have still failed to find compromise over, to me, a significantly less relevant the non-quality of life issues that we really ought to be able to have delivered on and compromised on in order to focus on education and health issues that are affecting families across Northern Ireland.
I think the temptation here is to make this big picture, right? And I think our first caller today, Jim, said, oh, you know, there's more than this little boy. There is more than this little boy, which is the disgraceful part of it. You know, one child sitting without an education who's ready to go to school, able to go to school, and they can't find him a place is bad enough. But there's more than him. But I actually am not going to be tempted down that route today. Today's story is about Alex. He's 5 years of age and he is behind. So he's, you know, every week they leave him without an education, he's behind. So every week the senior management team of the Education Authority cannot find him a place. He's getting further and further behind other children. So what chance has he got? What are we going to do? Are we going to leave him out for another year? So that kid's life is worse off because of people who cannot provide him a place.
And Stephen, yet our programme for government says early intervention for children and young people diagnosed with these special educational needs is vital. And we're not delivering on that. We don't even have an executive in place to deliver and respond to Alex's situation. But as I say, I'd be glad to assist in any way with that, Stephen, help your office work with you. These are key issues.
Here's Alex in Lisburn. Thank you, Chris. Morning, Alex.
Good morning. No, I was listening to one of your callers who said, if you have money. I have a son with Asperger's, and he's doing very well now. He's working, went to university, a success. But we got him assessed privately. But whenever we took that report along to the education people of the board, they wouldn't accept it. It had to be done by their own assessor. So it's not as simple as you just pay and you get jumping up the queue the way you do with private healthcare. That's our argument. The other problem we found was schools. Our child went mainstream, wasn't the mainstream, and he had got the transfer test for grammar school. And then he was stapled, and we wanted to see him do the transfer test because we thought he would get it and it would be an achievement for him. And he did, and yet we found it very difficult to get a grammar school to take him. It took the intervention of Barry Gardner, the Labour MP, who at the time was the Minister of Education. He got him in, he, I think, more or less forced the school to take him. And it was quite obvious from talking to the principal that was the case as well. I mean, that. You know, so it's a very complicated problem. The biggest problem we had in our experience was the schools. A lot of principals aren't prepared to, don't want a child with difficulties in their school because it lowers the scores on the doors, as it were. It lowers the number of A-levels they get. They maybe don't get the same number of A-levels, the same number of grades, but nevertheless, they need an education.
Okay. Are you sad what's happening to Alex this morning?
I'm very sad.
He's currently sitting at home.
I'm very sad. But, you know, at the end of the day, our political system is stymied. This is one of the examples of a night working off it.
No, but that's true, right? And that is part of this.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is the Education Authority are there. They're walking into work every day. And under their watch, there are 16 kids who have been statemented. In other words, they've got their evaluation and they're currently not going to school because they're waiting on a place.
Well, there obviously aren't enough places, Stephen, and we don't have the minister in place to make provision. You know, I was able to go to the Minister of Education. He was able to push, he was able to put the pressure on and get my problems, and my problem was solved. You know, at the moment, we don't have a Minister of Education. We have civil servants, and they're limited in what they can do. You know, it's quite clear we need the health service. We need health. Well, that's another question. We need the education service reorganized.
And then
be school places with money going to the wrong areas. You know, and that's the problem.
And then I look at the statement from the Education Authority this morning. They tell us the same thing they did. In fact, the start of it looks like a copy and paste job from last week's statement about another child. There are approximately 335,000 children of school age in Northern Ireland, including 20,000 with statements of special educational needs. The vast majority of children, they say, including those with statements, attend mainstream schools, with over 5,000 children attending special schools. That's what they said last week. They then update it. And they say the Education Authority knows of 16 children, I've just read that, with statements who are currently not attending school while awaiting a new placement. Well, why not? Could someone within the Education Authority possibly put a voice on to this programme or tell the public through whatever other means, why not? Why haven't you given these children a place? Could you explain to us? And if it is a shortage of money, how much shortage is there? How long are these 16 children likely to wait?
The other thing is...
Hold on a moment.
Okay.
The Education Authority recognises that behind these numbers are children who need specialised support. Each of these children face unique challenges. We know that. But one of the unique challenges they face is you lot in the Education Authority haven't given them a place. They say the Education Authority will continue to work with schools and families to secure appropriate placements as quickly as possible. What the Education Authority don't mention in their statement is I've been hearing from parents who, when they ring the Education Authority up, they don't ring them back. We had a parent on last week that said that they couldn't get them to reply. Then eventually, when they did reply, they sent out the wrong name and the wrong stuff to them. And then since we've been doing this story last week, the Education Authority announced all 16 cases are subject to a case review and are receiving particular focus from the special education team. Well, were they receiving that focus before this came to light last week? If not, why not? So is there anybody within the special education team with any type of sense of this cannot continue? Sorry, Edward, morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. I'd like to say, first of all, well done to yourself and your team for helping these children. And I was asking the question...
It's what you pay us for.
I know. I just want to say that I'm glad to hear you saying it's very passionate to your own heart. But have you received any support from any of the MLAs at all? Any information, any feedback, any help?
No.
No, exactly. No, it seems yet if it was Brexit, there would be plenty of information going. Now, and saying that there too, I was thinking of that wee boy you got at the programme, yourself and your colleagues, got him a space and two spaces and said 20 minutes.
Within 20 minutes of the programme coming off air, the little boy's parent was so frustrated, felt ignored. When we get in touch within 20 minutes... They were on the phone to her at her place of work, offering her two places.
It only seems to me that there's some people not doing their job. That's only my own personal opinion. And it seems to me as well that these children are seem to be put at the bottom of the pile. The Brexit and all the rest of it seems to be more important. But in my honest opinion, there's nobody more important than people. And these wee children deserve the best, in my opinion.
Well,
I think we're the signers up for MLAs, etc. They should hang their heads in shame. There was a man on speaking there. He said about they need an education minister. Well, I would just think to myself, yous are not education ministers, and you did something about it. So there's nothing to handle them, education minister or not, there's nothing to handle them about doing something about this situation.
Well, the commitment that we gave last week, and we stand over it, Edward, and we're going to attempt to do this.
I know.
And let this message go right into the senior management team, the chief executive and others within the Education Authority. We are doing our very best We are doing our very best to investigate every one of those 16 cases, because we're not letting this story go. So every single one of those 16 cases, we're going to try to identify, to investigate, and to see who is accountable. What red flags should have been identified within the Education Authority? What happens as every week goes on that a child is ready and willing and able to go to school and they cannot give that child a place? Do they review it every week? Do they review it every month? Do they just leave a child for many, many, many months? Who's responsible for it? Who's allowing it to continue? Who doesn't get back to parents? The parent from last week's show that waited months for a statement, then when they got one out, it was about the wrong child. Who let that happen? Is there enough accountability, Edward, in this country when we've got kids that, you know, they're special needs kids, for goodness sake.
I know, exactly. God love them. I know. And that's just why they should be at the top of the list, not at the bottom. You know, and I heard the man saying earlier on there, as at a class distinction. That remains to be seen. I don't know. But it seems to me. But see, at the end of the day, that caller was saying if it was a barrister's son, he would have a place. Somebody of more importance. You know what I mean? And I think that.
We have no evidence to suggest that is true.
No, I know that. But as somebody like I would say, food for thought. You know what I mean? But I'm saying that there to you.
Can I just nail that also? And look, I don't want this to sound like some type of preaching session, but I mean it, right? I really mean it, all right?
Uh-huh.
See, when we talk about that, a barrister's son, because what the inference behind that is that they'd be able to fight slightly harder.
Yeah.
The Nolan Show has barristers. We have lawyers.
Right.
And the reason we have them is because all of you lot pay a licence fee, all right? They are your barristers and they're your lawyers. So if anybody in this country thinks that because you're working class or you don't have a lot of money, there's nobody to fight for you, let me tell you, we've got some of the best lawyers in the country.
No,
so we great. And we will fight for you.
And you and your team can avail of their facilities.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got lawyers on speed dial in this program. You should see the amount of.
Aye, that's great.
But the point I'm trying to make is they're your lawyers. Don't be thinking they're ours. They're yours, this programme. And for this little boy, I do. I want to find out if his human rights are being breached. I want to find out if there's any legal address. Can that little boy, Alex, can he sue the Education Authority? I want all of those questions answered on behalf of that family.
And you see, if he could, can you sue?
No. So we can't sue on behalf of someone, but what we can do is fight to get that family answers. And I would like to understand, and I see the Children's Commissioner is in touch with us this morning again. They're pointing out that they do have a team ready to support parents, and they're urging parents to get in touch with the Children's Commissioner this morning.
All I would say is well done to you. You're certainly trying very hard, and I hope before too long that these 16 people will have a place.
Rather than talking about us, all right, let's not lose focus of the story.
Just one more time.
Here's the focus of today's story, okay? Just imagine this. Alex's friends, they're in school today, okay? He's not. So he's 5 years of age, he's turning around to his parents, he's sitting in the house, all of those social skills that you build up as a young child, Alex isn't getting them. By the way, he can't speak for himself, he's nonverbal.
The mother and father's trying to teach him.
The mother and father's trying to do that, they're doing their best, they're appealing to the Education Authority, the mother's ringing every other week.
Yeah.
And the Education Authority have left that child for 7 months without school.
You see, years ago, if that was to happen, the school would have been at your door to see why you weren't at school. You know what I mean? They would have been at your door. The education authorities would be at your door, writing or sending a letter. Why are you not at school? It seems strange that, you know what I mean? You know where I'm coming from.
By the way, have you noticed, Edward, that there's no one from that authority has volunteered to come on and talk to you all?
No, yes, exactly. No, I've noticed that. They're silent and the MLAs are silent. Shame on them. I would say shame on them.
Well, they're not silent. They're giving us statements behind the scenes. They're giving us public statements, but they're not, you know, they're not. I would like to sit down. I would like to sit down. In fact, I would publicly appeal to the senior management team of the Education Authority this morning. Explain to us all why you're doing this to these children. Is it about money? Mm-hmm. Are there not enough places? Yeah. What's the short-term fix? Is there anything we can do as a society to help this?
Yeah, exactly. But Stephen, they're silent verbally. They're silent. They don't come on to speak to you. That's what you need, isn't it?
And also, as I said earlier, let's not forget here about political accountability as well. Well, these red lines with these politicians. And they're entitled, it's not for me to say, but the red lines, and they cannot work together. And my goodness, the political parties in this country, some of them are very, very skilled in being able to develop arguments against each other. Where are their skills here for this little boy and children like them?
No, exactly.
What are they doing?
No, zero. Seems that way. Unless they're doing something behind the scenes that we don't know about, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Edward, thank you. Morning to you. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Stephen, my daughter has exactly the same problem as what those other two children were having and the other 16. But people are blaming the collapse of Stormont, you know, as one of the problems. My daughter had her problem about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, and she still had, as I said, the exact same problem. She had her child statemented here in the Belfast Trust. She then moved up to the Antrim Trust. They wouldn't accept the statement from the Belfast Trust. Now, you'd think that they would work together. It's just the one National Health Service, but they wouldn't accept it. They tried to get her to get another one. My daughter's a social worker, so she knows how to deal with people like this here. And she found it very, very difficult. She fought them tooth and nail. She took notes and dates and times every time she spoke to them, because there's other times when she was on the phone to them, they were denying what they'd said on the previous call. Well, my daughter fought for an interview with these people, and she found it very hard. She then got the help of a politician, and finally got the interview.
Yeah, well, there's lots been said here, obviously, that I haven't had time to look into, John.
Let me give you the end of it there.
Yeah, but I don't want to go into the details of this story, John, just until we have time to check, because what we try to do on air is to be fair to all sides. So we'll talk to you behind the scenes and we'll try to look at that story for you as well. We'll give you the same commitment, all of us, our community in Northern Ireland. We'll give the same commitment that we gave last week to the other little boy today, to Alex and to his family who is listening, and to the rest of you concerned about this story. We will give you a weekly update as to how long the Education Authority leaves that little boy on the scrap heap sitting at home. Now, is that a pejorative term for me, saying on the scrap heap? Well, what else do you want me to say? His friend's going to school. He's got a human right to an education, and he's currently sitting in the house. And every single week that I'm on air, until he gets back to school, we will update you on his situation.